Welcome to the Third Culture Podcast,
a podcast by two third culture kids.
I'm Faith.
And I'm Krista.
And this is The Power of Nostalgia, Part 2.
Y2K.
Millennium.
Remember that?
I just thought of that. Will Smith.
Millennium.
And Backstreet Boys, Millennium. And no strings attached, because he says, here it comes, Millennium.
We're talking about Jerusalem.
I didn't know what that song meant. Probably something. I don't know. I memorized the rap.
Oh, Left Eye's rap?
Yes. May she rest in peace. That to say, hey, Y2K aesthetic is back, and I don't know.
I don't know how
I feel about it.
How did this happen on our watch?
Okay, and this was what tripped me out. So for us, when we were in high school, junior high, we would always dress kind of 80s, like 80s.
Yeah,
because that was 20 years ago. Can you believe that the year 2000 was 21 years ago?
No, I don't want to think about that. It's so crazy. That's when I started high school, dude.
It's like the 80s to us is the 80s to the kids today.
That's... I don't like it. And maybe that's the reason why they think it's a good thing that it's back.
They call it vintage style, and I'm like, ooh.
I know. Y2K, okay, even seeing the title Y2K, immediately I'm like, I need to get water. I need to get into a bomb bunker.
Yes.
Because everyone thought the world was going
to
end.
Because we didn't know. It was because they didn't know how the clocks would turn out to be when it goes 00, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just remember there was a huge conspiracy theory that literally everything was going to crash and everything was...
The stock market.
Yeah. Everything
was
just
the internet. All of it.
And it...
So weird.
Didn't.
And it was fine.
And it was fine. It was a normal... New Year's Eve.
And don't they know that it's going to turn to year 2000, in different places at different times? So it's like, is it every hour for the next 24 hours?
It's going to break down in a grid system.
By time zone. That's how you know it's very America-centric.
I know. It was so funny, but I do remember that. So yeah, it is back. How do we feel about it?
I'm okay. It's like a support group. Are you okay? How do you feel?
How do you feel about it? Because it was the pinnacle of our generation.
I was fully realized.
Right.
As a person. Well, no, I was 9 years old. I'll be honest. I was 9 years old in the year 2000. But at that point, because you and I grew up as third culture kids, hence the name of the podcast. So I kind of grew up a little bit fast and really aware of pop culture and all these things. And in the year 2000, I was all pretty aware of what was going on around me.
Right.
And I was just soaking it up. You know, when you're 9, you're just soaking up the world around you. I don't know about you, but at least I was. And it was a strange time.
I was a freshman in high school.
There you go.
So it literally was
your life.
The start of my, what I thought was the start of my life.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And not only that, I had moved from Vancouver, Canada to Miami, Florida.
Oh, different.
Like toss the child in the most different, weirdest time ever. And that was me.
Boom.
So many culture shocks and changes in a span of
Miami.
In a span of a summer.
Yeah.
In a span of 3 months, everything changed. It was so crazy.
It's crazy.
So aesthetics.
Well, I was in Abu Dhabi. So
there you go.
We had just moved to Abu Dhabi. We were probably only there for a couple months. And 2000 was coming. And so I wasn't actually just experiencing the U.S. going through this turn of the millennium. Because Abu Dhabi is very influenced by, the U.K. and Britain because of history and things and the Gulf War and stuff. I was experiencing as things pertaining to the U.K. So I was getting a lot of S Club 7,
yes.
A lot of BBC. So most of my news was coming in through BBC. So
crazy.
Culturally, I was more attuned to what was happening in Britain.
What in
it's
the
crazy.
World? This is going to be an interesting,
I know.
Interesting talk. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Y2K aesthetics, like immediate.
What do you think of?
I think of like flared jeans.
Yes.
I think of
low rise,
very specific jeans. Low rise jeans,
like 2-3 inch zipper. I told someone this. I was like, my love handles have
muffin tops were the immediate result.
I have unresolved trauma in my love handles that will never go away because of low rise jeans.
Oh my god!
I was skinny too, but somehow.
There's no hiding from low-rise jeans.
It's like an ice cream cone. You put ice cream on it, it just kind of just like falls over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only low-rise jeans, but tied-up zippers. Oh, it wasn't the zipper. Yes. It was like a corset, but in the front.
Like a leather. That's not.
That was a thing.
It's not good.
You know?
I blame Britney Spears.
That was also the time when like, low back tattoos,
yes,
was a thing
because it's low, might as well,
right? So everything
embellish it, upon it,
yeah. That was the most embellished part of the body, was the lower back,
yes,
with your tattoo in the middle.
And if you have a lower back tattoo, we're not judging you, we're not laughing at you,
but that was the look.
That was the look.
It was what was considered like attractive and very like feisty.
I was 9, so my dad's like, no.
I wasn't.
H, no.
I came from, like, conservative Vancouver suburban to, like, Miami, you know?
Which is
the complete opposite of that.
The birthplace of.
The thong song, I think, came out of Miami. The thong song out of that area.
Yeah.
The dirty South.
For sure. And we also asked you guys, we asked a bunch of people like, hey, what? And that was one of the things. Y2K fashion, how do you feel about it?
They're like, why is low rise jeans back? And if so, absolutely no.
No, as millennials, we look back and we're like, this was not good for our bodies.
This was a bad choice.
And also it was in style to be like stick skinny.
Yeah, it was. Like Nicole Richie,
yes,
brought in like, it wasn't healthy.
Yes.
And I think she even, a lot of those people acknowledge this is not a healthy look.
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
But it was like the whole twiggy size was like back.
And that's the only way you can keep up a low rise jean if you wear a twig and then you had small pieces of leather holding
a corset
or
zipper.
Leather belts that weren't buckles that you tied them. You remember those?
Yeah, well, not only that, belts that didn't actually hold up anything.
No, it's like a necklace for your hips. It's like, it just hangs there. If anything, it weighs it down even more.
No, but it was also what was used to cinch in the waist.
True.
That was the only thing. But then, that also was counterproductive because the belts were like 5 to 6 inches wide.
Yep.
And so in my head, I'm like, but we wore them on everything.
We did.
Over, like, I remember, okay, another thing was layering.
Yes.
Right? Tank
Which
top
was
on
great.
Tank top on tank top.
I think that was a good pendulum swing away from crop tops because
right.
youth group, that's, you know, you can't wear a crop. You couldn't wear, like, you know,
right.
super cropped shirts. So this pendulum swing was in, now let me wear 5 shirts.
Yeah. It's like Joey in that episode where he's wearing
all
his clothes.
All of Chandler's clothes.
You know? But then on top of the 4 tank tops that we just layered is a belt.
Is a belt.
That's yes. what we wore.
Is a belt that hasn't served
that
no
has
purpose.
No purpose. It's literally just an accessory of no functionality.
No.
But it was.
Wow. It was like the Empire waist,
it
too.
It was, yeah.
Cute.
And so, and like, I remember it being a real thing to have like all your straps
yes.
lined up.
Yes.
So when you layered your tanks, it's not just all bundled into one strap. Like, you want to show
yes.
all the straps.
And they have to be cute. They have to match.
Like, it's like a competition of how many shirts can you wear?
Yes. And still look skinty. That's so triggering, dude.
Right? So flared jeans, low-rise jeans were a really big thing. So when I remember specifically in high school, also really wide leg.
Yes.
pants mm-hmm. were like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, but the look mm-hmm. was baggy pants and tighter tops.
Yep.
So like that was very like Aaliyah.
Yes.
You know, recording artist Aaliyah mm-hmm. wore that pretty often. That was like her look. And so for some of the girls who swang like a little bit more on the hip hop mm-hmm. R&B side, that was like, that was what we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
So like Southern Florida, that was a lot of that. We remember seeing a lot of that.
But yeah. Oh, well, it also translated really well into the skate community.
Yes.
Because I remember that those years, Avril Lavigne was huge. But, you know, the skate, that resurgence basically from the 90s, I guess it's just spilled over into the 2000s where you do wear baggy jeans and you do wear like a spaghetti strap top. Pretty tight layers, but then you also have like those bracelets on bracelets and then the spiky belts.
So the studded.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because it looked the same by definition, but the execution is different.
Different.
Yeah. Because then we also wore like Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
I was more in that scene of things. So yeah.
Yeah. Faith and I were in this completely different sides of the spectrum.
Yes.
Oh, and another thing that was really big, that started getting very big, was like pin straight hair.
Yes.
Right?
Like singe it.
Singed
straight.
Straight hair. But then really chunky highlights. Not blended highlights.
No.
Not balayages.
No.
You want them to see like skunk. Like it was like a thing to have like skunk highlight. Chunky. So that was a thing. In where I was, shoes was a really big thing. Like mm-hmm. the shoe game was a big thing. So like, but K-Swisses, which I don't mm-hmm. even know is around still. I don't know. K-Swisses, Filas were a big thing.
Those are coming back.
The really chunky DC shoes.
Those are not
coming
back.
With like the really fat tongue.
That was huge in the skate community too.
That was massive.
Yeah.
And then obviously Nikes, Jordans, Adidas classics were a really big thing. But I remember like that was the look.
That was the look.
You know, and because we couldn't afford it growing up, we would go to the swap meet and buy fake versions of those shoes because I didn't grow up with means to get any of those things.
And back then there wasn't really, the internet was there, but there wasn't much of like how to spot a fake. Like,
no one would ever know. And that's another thing too. It's so interesting that we were influenced because back then we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have
Pinterest.
We didn't have, MySpace wasn't even really a thing.
No.
And so none of our clothing inspos ever came from what we saw on there. The only place we found them was music videos.
TRL,
MTV music videos.
Yes.
And then like, there was like a reality show with Paris Hilton in it.
Oh, The Simple Life.
Yeah. And so, like, those are the only times you really caught what the celebrities were wearing.
Right.
Oh, magazines was another thing.
Magazines were huge.
Were really big. But that was it. That was how we found inspo. But but then that's how, like, brands. Okay, so the brands that I were exposed to was, like, Baby Fat, FUBU, Fat Farm, which is the male version of Baby Fat.
Right.
Rock
the weirdest names.
J-Lo, when she wore the matching tracksuit was a really big thing. The Juicy Couture, when you had the word juicy across the bum.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? Von Dutch trucker hats?
Yes. It was because of Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
Yep. Man.
That was...
And then K-Fed.
And then...
Who we will... He's not
That's
welcome
it.
Here. Free Britney.
Free Britney. But, you know, and so, like, this whole thing. And so... That was really funny. You know what else I forgot we were really into was capri.
Capris with a little slit.
that was when capris really, like, my mom called them pedal pushers.
I call them pedal pushers, too.
In the 70s, I think they were called pedal pushers.
And they called them pedal pushers in the UK, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember calling it that. Yeah.
And then when it showed up in the 2000s, in the Y2K era, my mom's like, oh, those are just called pedal pushers. And I'm like, no, they're called capri.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh,
three-fourths sleeves. Yes.
Three-fourths sleeves were the big thing. Hair claws. I remember having a ton of
hair claws. Those are back.
Butterfly clips.
I still use hair claws to this day.
Chokers.
Those also came back.
Yeah.
Like the black one with a...
Yeah, like they were like the choker tattoo.
Yeah. That we have Sporty Spice to thank for that.
Oh, yes.
She had that.
See? All these different things. But yeah, it all came out of music videos.
All the time. And we have a question. Someone asked us a Y2K question. If you were in a Y2K music video.
I'm so embarrassed.
All right, can we list more than one? No, okay. No.
For different reasons.
No, you go first. Yours is less. Yours is less embarrassing. Because, okay, the first one that came to your head.
Yes. Oh, so the first one that came into my head was any of the Janet Jackson videos.
Right.
I was a dancer in high school.
Yes.
And so the goal was to land a job like that, to be one of Janet Jackson's dancers. Come on.
Right.
You know, but in the Y2K era, she came out with two music videos, Doesn't Really Matter, and All For You.
Yes.
And so Doesn't Really Matter was the one in Japan.
Yeah.
And she was wearing the really tight top and then the giant pants. And I was like
parachute pants.
Yeah, I was like, you were so cool. You were so cool. And she was in this Japanese like capsule apartment. And
yes. I'm
like, and she had her robotic dog.
Which I also had a robotic dog.
You know, and I was just like, this is the coolest. So that has to be either one of those two. It Doesn't Really Matter or All For You. Because All For You had like, she was in the subway, but it was all very cartoony. It looked like it was hand-drawn.
So cute. Yeah.
But the choreography for either one of those were
fire.
And I was like...
Like the whole team.
And they all had different outfits.
So
and I'm just
good.
Like, oh my gosh, I want to be them so bad. But...
And we're talking about like span... We're talking about spanning over a couple years of Y2K, right?
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, because I think one of them came out in like 2001 or two.
Yeah.
No, one. I think Doesn't Really Matter came out pretty close to the millennium because she was depicting what the future was.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a huge thing,
that
too.
That was huge.
To have things look really like spacey.
Very spacey.
Futuristic.
Yeah.
Everything was like silver.
Yes.
That was huge.
That was a really
silver
big thing.
Blue.
Yes.
Baby blue.
They wanted it to look very like very futuristic in a sense. And so and then so that's
everything was a green screen basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But those if it was like my first like one of the first ones that came to my mind, it was that. What about you, Faith?
Okay, the first one that came to the first one that came to my mind it's because I was in love with NSYNC was like I'm so embarrassed. I really wanted to be in NSYNC's girlfriend music video and be JC's love interest because she was Asian. And we were like, yes.
So you're saying
there's a chance. I was in love. I don't know how old I was when that came out, but I was like, this is the height of romance.
Right. And like he kind of had he allowed his curls to grow out a little bit.
I was like, okay.
They were like grown. that was shaved hair Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
So they really took on the role of like, we are now grown ups.
Yes.
And we're ready for love.
Me at age 10, same.
But yeah, I do remember because like...
I was like, I would love to be a love interest in a music video.
Because they were in the back of the car.
Yeah.
But there was like a party. It's not like inappropriate. They were like, alone, but
yeah, they were like, oh, this is a car meet.
It's a car meet, yeah.
Which was huge because of Fast and Furious also was a thing too. So everyone's like, cars.
Yeah, it gave you the car meet feel and they danced on top of cars.
And it was so cool. I was like, I would love it. That is so good. I was like, JC Chazé. Yes.
I just want to be that close to the man.
And that was the start of my love for squinty brunettes. And then I married one.
And then you married
a squinty brunette.
What's the other ones? It's crazy because Y2K kind of brought in the era of dance movies.
Yes.
So You Got Served.
Oh, no.
They did. You yes. Got Served came out.
Yes.
In 2004. Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last
2001.
Dance, okay. Which is circulating on TikTok because we're like, oh, wait. Her audition, her Juilliard audition.
I was like, that's all I needed to do to get to Juilliard.
So I thought I'd just pop lock it and then a pirouette.
A pirouette, and I just got to bring a prop out. Bring a chair out.
And just like, yeah.
Yeah. You know? So Save the Last Dance came out.
Oh, my.
You Got Served came out.
You Got Served. Honey.
Honey came out. And then Take the Lead.
Ah.
Came out with Antonio Banderas.
I forgot about that.
He's like a teacher who taught the inner city kids how to dance ballroom.
Right.
But they gave it like a hip hop vibe.
Oh,
and I was like, yes, this is the collaboration I've been waiting
yes.
for all my life.
High art.
It was groundbreaking.
Because Save the Last Dance did that with ballet and hip hop.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And you know, and it's looking at it in hindsight now, right? Like there's the, it's bad because now as a grown up, I'm like, dude, why did we hype these up so hard? So Save the Last Dance,
yeah.
it's the highlight of it is when they go to the club
yeah.
and they perform their choreographed duo dance. And they do that tap, tap, tap
yes,
to get
yes.
everybody's bop, bop, bop. Everybody's attention.
Right.
Right? But the whole time I was like, oh shoot. When I'm watching this movie as a yes. ninth grader, I'm
yeah.
like, this is the firest. This is amazing.
When I go to the club.
When I go to the club, I'm gonna go tap, tap, tap. You know? But dude, 80% of that choreo was two stepping.
It was not that hard.
I was like, why?
Also, this club is way too well lit.
And it was very,
real.
And those floors were clean. You know, the honey, okay, no joke.
Honey.
You know, there's a thing. She goes to a club, she dances in the club.
And yes.
That's how she gets the eye of like the music,
yes.
the music video director. She does the scissor leg.
Yeah.
Move.
Dun, dun, duh. Dun, dun.
She does that on a club floor. Anybody
Disgusting.
Who's ever gone clubbing, you do not want to
dance
on a club floor.
You don't want your hands on there.
You don't want any part of you got to burn the whole outfit.
Anything that isn't your feet should not be on that floor.
Dude.
Also, no one will give you space enough to do that. Imagine.
No one's going to break out.
If you, the second you go lower than hip level, you're trampled on. You're going to get trampled on. There's no way.
There's no way. They're going to be like, oh, she just disappeared.
Oh, she's gone.
She's gone.
Trample, trample.
But the cool thing that I do love was when You Got Served came out in 2004, they took audiences into places that very few people get to go into where there's full-on dance battles.
So sick.
And that had to be the sickest thing I've
yeah.
ever seen in my life. Like, I just remember watching that movie. I watched that movie so many times. I actually watched it recently, like maybe I think a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of B2K's group. It's like Omarion and all them.
Aww,
right?
Love those guys.
And they're B2K number one, when they came out, they were like fire. I was
yeah.
like, what? And then they starred in this movie called You Got Served,
you
which
got
was
served.
They were, you know, brothers in the community that put together a dance crew, and they were just phenomenal.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Right. And I watched it recently and I was just like, dang, this acting is so bad. Up until today, even now, I can watch the choreo
it's
on
those
that.
Dance.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the reason why I went and danced with them in 2004.
Yeah.
Because I was like, y'all
They're
brought
so
it.
Good.
They came, they did a tour and they brought all the original choreographers.
I love that.
And I got to do a workshop with them as a high schooler because I was enamored.
So
with
cool.
This amazing, like, groundbreaking thing, and I was just like, this is too fire, but I loved it. And then it opened up other movies, obviously, like what am I thinking? Oh, Yard, Stomp the Yard,
yeah,
Stomp the Yard came out, paved the way for them. All of the what is the one with Channing Tatum?
What is that called? Oh no.
Oh, the Step Up movies?
Step Up movies.
So, to all the Step Up movies, it opened all the doors for the
right.
Step Up movies, which Channing Tatum started in.
How many
in.
Are there now? Like five?
There's several.
Wow.
But all those guys, like Paris Goebel, who's an amazing choreographer, she's in that. Twitch, who's an amazing choreographer.
People
and dancer.
Forget Twitch started in those films.
Yeah. He's in those films. Yeah. And so they've actually highlighted this industry and this world that very few people know about and mainstreamed mm-hmm. it. And now people just love dance. And I was like,
the dance community. The dance is celebrated.
But I die. I think about this and I'm like, Y2K brought all those movies in.
All of them.
I know.
Those movies. Also just teen movies in general. Man, it was like, and that's what gave people outside of the US a weird idea of like what being a teenager in the US was like. Like yeah. house parties. They always had like red solo cups and it's like,
yep.
And it's crazy. And then the cops always get called, but they're always, I don't know, people dancing really not well. You know?
Like She's All That.
She's
with Rachel Lee Cook and Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, that was really good. Never Been Kissed.
There were some good ones.
That was the era of teenage movies. Because kind of in the 80s, they kind of had that with like Ferris Bueller.
Right.
Back in 16 the Future. Candles. 16 Candles. Yeah.
Breakfast Club.
Pretty in Pink.
I love that. And then the resurgence of it in the 2000s. Yeah. And then the resurgence again now, I feel.
Yeah.
But more in the Netflix era things. That's crazy.
Isn't that funny? Like it's so interesting. I was just like, oh my gosh, I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember when these things first came out. But that also that had so much fashion in it as well. Like
totally.
Like if you started getting into that like the whole dance community,
uh-huh.
you dressed a very specific way. You
totally.
Know, so
you knew who someone was about just by like how they were dressed and how they did their makeup.
Yeah.
Because that was also a thing too. Back then, foundation wise, we didn't have very many options.
Nope.
So usually our white friends tend to put foundation on that was a little bit darker.
Yep.
And it was like a little orange. I don't know why, like foundation wise, we were very limited. You were either like light, medium, dark.
Yep.
And even then, the dark wasn't dark enough. Nope. The medium was just orange. So whenever we did choose a foundation, nothing matched.
And then because of Amy Whitehouse, we started winging our eyeliner.
Yes, or all the way around black eyeliner.
Yep. And then the white under.
Yes.
For the doll eyes.
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
Thin eyebrows. I never plucked my eyebrows. My mom always talked me out of plucking my eyebrows. So
you should thank your mother for that.
Yes.
I had to literally not touch my eyebrows for almost a year to just grow back all the things that
so
I
hard.
Over. It wasn't even me. Someone who's older than me was like, I'm gonna fix your eyebrows. I'm like, okay. And
pluck them all out.
I look like a cartoon character. An angry cartoon character.
Oh no.
Because my eyebrows naturally arch really high and I just looked upset the whole time.
And when it's really thin, it's just like, nah.
Yeah. It's frightening. I see photos of myself in high school and I'm like, why?
Am I okay?
Krista, you good? Like,
you good, Krista?
It was so funny. What about music? What kind of music? Besides like NSYNC, we both loved NSYNC.
Always.
And like all the pop stuff. But like, was there a niche music scene that you really got into?
Yeah. Okay. So I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me. So he kept me up on like where hip hop and R&B was going. So I remember the first album I ever owned, I think the first album he ever bought for me, he's like, this is me helping you.
Nice.
Is Alicia Keys' Songs in A Minor. Yeah. So that was where like my love for R&B was like really, it was there in that era of that Y2K era. But I also really got into like, I just wanted to play an instrument that wasn't the piano. Mm. And Matt gave that album to me because I played the piano. He's like, maybe it could be like Alicia Keys. I'm like, I don't know, maybe. And but then I saw the guitar and I saw Avril Lavigne play an electric guitar and I was like, yes, I also want to do that. So I got really into more like punk pop
yeah
and like grunge type, and then Avril Lavigne was kind of the gateway for me to then go back to 90s grunge. So, and then, because the 90s grunge was also getting pulled back because we had Dave Grohl coming back as Foo Fighters when he was the drummer for Nirvana. And he's like, I'm going to come out with music now as a lead singer. So that, like, that was coming back and becoming really cool. U2, Coldplay. So I was more definitely in the rock alternative moment. Michelle Branch.
Oh, I love Michelle Branch.
Everywhere to be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. She was so precious. And she was like vaguely Asian. So I was like, yes. So I love that for her and for me. So music-wise, that's kind of where I was at. And then in the Christian realm, Reliant K was a thing. And so my older brother was also really good at me, not good for me, where that he didn't have me really go super deep into like Christian music that was really cheesy. He like kind of gatekeeped it for me, which I'm really thankful for. So as far as Christian music, I got into Reliant K. And then in that time, a lot of like indie bands started coming up. So emo indie started coming up.
Yeah.
And this was because it seemed like a lot of these indie bands, indie emo bands that were coming up had Christian themes in their songs, but they weren't Christian artists. Mm-hmm. But they were, you can tell like, oh, you guys are a youth group band that decided to write music and come out with stuff. So I got really into like Copeland and May and just these bands that started sprouting up. Like Matt would just bring them over to Abu Dhabi when he came and like dropped off or left his CD case.
Yeah.
That had all like all the sleeves. And there's all these burned CDs. So I got a really good taste of that. So that was the fork in the road. It was Alicia Keys or Avril Lavigne.
Dang.
And it's almost as if I had to choose, but I didn't really choose one over the other. I just was exposed to one more than the other. Because the UK also had more of like, they were coming out of their boy band phase. So they were like, you know, that pop punk was also coming up as well. So that influenced my trajectory towards an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. But I still had my love for like my R&B.
Yeah.
Because you wanted those like music videos that like were like more like, just like my boo. Like, you know,
yeah.
I just wanted
with
that.
Usher. Oh, so Michelle Branch.
Yes.
She is part Irish and part Dutch Indonesian.
There it is. I was right. Vaguely.
So she's part. I know. I'm the complete opposite.
Yes.
When it came to the era of, because I love pop. Like pop was just so easy. It was so palatable for me. Yeah.
Everyone
I think everybody got really into it. Like Britney, Christina, the boy bands, like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees.
98
you know,
Degrees.
Because they had the harms. They had the harms.
They had the Boys to Men harms.
The Boys to Men. And then Boys to Men was still around.
They were the first.
They were the first. They were my first love.
First
you
love,
know?
Same.
And then S Club 7, which you mentioned earlier.
And
because they had an MTV show, which I loved.
Yes.
They all like helped out in this hotel. And
yes.
It's like, what? This is so cool.
Do you remember Westlife?
Yes.
Yes, Westlife. I'm just thinking of the UK ones. Yeah, Westlife.
Westlife. And then Jesse MacArthur.
Yeah.
Is that
McCartney.
McCartney, yes.
Jesse McCartney.
No, wait. The soul song.
Beautiful soul.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, like that came out. And then
Vanessa Carlton. Fun fact, my social studies teacher in Abu Dhabi was her social studies teacher when where is she from? Somewhere in the East Coast. But he was her teacher when she was younger, too. And I was like, wow, that's great. I don't know.
That's
weird random.
And then, and so that I always loved that.
Yes.
I always loved that. And then because I moved to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
I got into Nelly.
Yes.
Outkast. Black Eyed Peas, Gwen Stefani, but the hollaback girl Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
Harajuku. Cisco, Missy Elliott, Ricky Martin.
Oh.
You know, and then by extension, Enrique Iglesias.
Enrique Iglesias with the mole.
Yeah. Yes. Like those were
I can be your hero.
I can be your hero. No, like legit.
Yes.
Like, and then the collaboration, I think Enrique and Christina did a duet song together.
They did.
At, I'm trying to remember, but it was in this beautiful casita and she was on the stairs and it was gorgeous. And I was like, what? This is amazing. And then like shake your tail feather. Like shake that was like, that was literally like what my, my daily weekly consumption of music was with like that kind of sound. But on the Christian level, my spot was like Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribbett, like all those gospel, heavy heart, like big choir, gospel, hip hop was like where my, when it got into Christian music, that's the direction that I went. That wasn't worship music. It was like, so that was what I was, unfortunately, that was kind of all I was exposed to because no one else ever listened to anything else until I moved to California. And so,
California is so diverse and California also was more of that rock scene.
Right.
For sure. Because, when after Abu Dhabi, we moved back to California in 2004. So still in that Y2K moment. And when I moved back, the surf and skate community was huge. So obviously like I got plunged into, in San Diego specifically, plunged into like that era of shows and like you go to a show and that's how you found out about other people's bands is because they opened for each other and all these things. So as far as Christian hip hop, my extent of that is that I danced when I was in Abu Dhabi and I wanted to continue to dance. So I did like jazz, jazz lyrical. And then when we moved back to San Diego, our youth group started to do dance competitions.
Right.
Because that was so huge. Awesome. So and specifically in the Filipino community in San Diego was the remnant of hip hop things. So I had my white friends, you know.
Yeah.
And then I also had my Filipino friends who were into like the emo indie phase as well. But we were also the same people that danced. So we were a little bit of both. Yeah. So that's how I got into more Christian hip hop or just hip hop in general was because we started to, you know, like cut songs together and do like a whole pieces together. And then you would dance and like dance battle other youth groups.
What?
Like you would have, it's like literally a dance competition.
That's
and it's
fire, dude.
It's so funny. I remember we did Shackles by Mary Mary.
Yes.
And then we also did, we did a Kirk Franklin moment. We did some of that. Some like ambassador, like some of those other ones. Yeah.
Dude, it was like, that was it.
That was
like what I was exposed to. Like those are the things that I don't mind coming back.
Yes. You know? There's a lot of community built around those things.
Right.
Which people would call cliques. But at the same time, it's like if you have interests that are similar to this other person's interests, then you hang out with each other.
You connect in that way.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
I think
another thing that I'm reminded of, kind of going weirdly, going back to like clothing aesthetics and how it's connected to music. Was I forgot that looking like you survived a shipwreck was an actual look. Yes. And because of why? Because of Destiny's Child Survivor music video.
Oh, yeah. And Pirates.
And Pirates.
Pirates of the Caribbean. When did that come out?
Yeah.
Here, you have a laptop.
Yeah, let's look at it.
Because
up.
I feel like pirate aesthetics was also a thing. Well, Britney Spears, Slave for You.
Yeah, it had like all the shredded clothing.
Why does it always look like?
But then she also like danced with a python. It was frightening.
Oh, yes. But like, also, why does there have to be like strings and like pieces of clothing hanging? Like I'm a mummy.
Oh, see, The Curse of the Black Pearl, the first one, came out in 2003.
There it is.
Yeah, pirates were a real thing.
Pirates being shipwrecked, castaway.
Castaway, Wilson.
With Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Like.
Yes.
Like, I'm remembering, like, shredded clothes. I remember my mom being, like, I remember taking a wife beater.
Yeah.
And making a slit in the very middle of my neckline and then just taking it and ripping it a little bit.
Just
to give me a little bit of a V-neck. But that V-neck needed to be distressed, like it's been ripped naturally.
Yes. And it also probably came from how our flare jeans were always just like a little bit too long. And so they would like shred in the end.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, I can fix and sew that for you. I'm like, no, don't touch it.
It's the look.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the kind of distressing that I need.
That's what I'm going for. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. Like, why I remember. Did we do oh, that, that and min- mini vests.
Mini vests.
Like, just.
Tiny vests.
Tiny. Tiny vests over graphic tees.
Or, yeah, my parents would never let me wear just the vest. So I would always have to wear a graphic tee or a wife beater underneath.
Okay, I have to. I have to. Because I'm remembering it right now.
And oh, no.
Flashbacks. So I did. I had a high school dance competition. Uh-huh. And me and my girlfriends who were in our tiny little dance crew, we were going to do a piece. And we needed to figure out what we were going to wear.
Yes.
And we're just like, what are we going to wear? We have to have a uniform. So we wore, it was awful. I think back about this now. Yes. And I remember returning it. And feeling so bad that I returned it because I just hid the tag. Anyway, uh-huh, so we wore black flared pants.
Cute.
But like the ribbed material, they were yes. kind of stretchy. And then it was bad. And then a white wife beater.
Yes.
And a crocheted triangular bikini top.
Over the
On lip. Top, a black yes. one. So there's yes. contrast.
Oh, yes. And modest
and slightly but not modest
but not
yeah like it was a crocheted triangular bikini top
wow
that tied around your neck and then around your back but we had a white beater right on and we did this whole I think about that now. I felt so bad because I don't remember telling my mom I bought it because it was uh-huh. like that piece of clothing was so controversial because like right. it's crocheted, you oh, know.
Britney Spears wore it in. Oh, don't let me be the last
oh,
to know.
Oh yeah. Oh my god! In the hammock with a person that wasn't Justin Timberlake, and it caused such a controversy.
And we're like, this is not.
Like, why is she like hugging up on this guy? Anyway,
yeah,
it was a crocheted bikini yep. top. And I remember we bought it at Wet Seal.
Yes.
We bought it at Wet
Still
Seal.
Still around?
I don't know.
No, I haven't seen it.
But I remember hiding it. It was a tiny, tiny yellow bag because it was yes. tiny. You can fold it in so many ways.
Right.
And hid it, put it on for the recital. Took it off and returned it.
Oh
and
my
I felt
goodness.
I felt so awful.
The conviction of the Holy
conviction
Spirit.
The conviction of the Holy Spirit. I was like, I cannot own this piece of clothing. I should not own this piece of clothing. Oh but yeah, that was gosh. Like a look though.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Like
sure was.
Like modest hot was a look.
Yes. Like you want to be hot, but you also want to be
covered,
modest.
Yeah, like hence the miniature vests. But under something.
Yeah, over something.
Oh, sorry, over something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing. I love this.
That was the look.
Speaking of shredded clothes, I think I may have talked about this in the last episode, Nostalgia, but my jazz lyrical class, we danced to I Need a Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and then our clothes were, we looked like raindrops, so the top was like, it almost looked like how a bikini top would, but it was... nice and high on the chest, so it's like closer to your collarbone, yeah. right? And it was an empire waist dress, so the dress itself went down, and it was just like pieces of material. so it looks like how would you say this? Like if you were to take a dress and put it in like
a shredder,
the disposal, yeah, and then pull it out. You're like, oh, just kidding, I want this, yeah. So that's what it looked like. And I'm like, wow, that was the look. And it was Abu Dhabi too.
It
so it was like
look.
Scandalous.
Yeah.
So you can't show your shoulders or your knees, but we did because it was only for like 2 minutes. Because, you know, pieces take 12 years to learn a 2 minute piece. So
it was the look.
That was
though.
The look. And is that coming back?
I don't know. The shredded pieces of clothing.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, we've seen a lot of shredded jeans.
Yeah. So lately we've seen definitely the crop top moment.
Yeah, that's back.
Definitely like just like the tighter top moment.
Or even, you know, just a normal t-shirt with a patch.
Yes.
Like it's very, I know they're buying it from like Melville.
Yeah.
It's a store. But I used to buy those shirts at Kmart.
Yes.
I literally used to, it's like a white baby tee
yeah.
with a patch, like a yeah. butterfly patch or a heart patch.
I had a butterfly.
Yeah. I remember owning face. Those. Oh, a smiley face.
Yeah.
But I remember buying that at like Kmart or Walmart for a few dollars. If
yeah.
you buy them now, they're like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
I was like, say what?
They have them at Target. They're really, yeah, they're kind of cute.
They're cute.
Yeah. I just don't know, like, okay, yeah, because sometimes they're, like, cropped a little too short, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm self-conscious.
Brandy Melville.
Yeah, I was like, Herman Melville. That was what I was going to say, and I didn't, because I was like, that's not right.
That's a Brandy Melville.
Brandy Melville. Yeah. I went to that one in Hollywood, because yes. I was told by someone that you inevitably run into a celebrity, and I'm just a clout chaser. So I went over there and I was, no one was there, but because Thales and I were dressed pretty well, they thought we had money. So they were talking us up, and I was like, dang, this is great. I love this for us. I'm not here to buy anything. The cheapest thing there was like an $80 book
of photos. They get very pricey.
I'm like, no.
It's funny, but yeah, I'm seeing that a lot.
Yeah.
Like baby tees are back, tank tops, crop tops are back. The chunky shoes
are back. Chunky shoes. I'm glad chunky shoes are back.
I'm actually, but I like how we're doing it now, because back then your chunky shoes is only Spice Girls reference. So it's like a foot and a half tall.
No support.
No support.
No real like pediatric. No, is that right? Is that the right word? Podiatric.
Yeah.
Your
feet. Feet. Science.
Doctor.
Thank you.
Feet science.
Behind it. Yes.
Thank you. What is the word? I don't know. It's fine. It's fine.
But yeah. No, I know. Yeah. There's no support.
It's just like to make it tall.
It's a normal shoe on a stack of foam.
Yes.
You know, back then.
Yeah. But make this a skyscraper.
Yeah.
But
now it's like coming back, and it's more ergonomic for everyday use.
It's healthy for your feet.
Healthy
they
for
look
your feet.
Really cute.
Yeah. So it's, but I like that that's going there.
Yeah.
I do like, I mean, it's not new, but I think Billie Eilish made it very popular, like the whole oversized look.
I love that.
I love it. I still like it. Like I used to dress it then. I dress that now. Like on a day to day, it's the most comfortable, like giant cargo pants and a massive graphic shirt. I'm about it.
There's like nice chunky shorts.
Yeah. So fun.
I love it.
So comfortable. Very modest.
Yeah.
Very easy to wear. You know, it's just, oh, you know what else is back?
Mm.
Baby doll dresses.
Oh.
Like Spice Girl dresses.
Yes.
You know, Baby Spice dresses.
Baby Spice dresses.
Yeah. Like the one with a lot of frill, micro floral.
Right.
And it's like rouged on top.
Yes.
And then it's just, that's back.
It's cute.
It's cute.
I can see it being really cute. I can also see it being really problematic if you're like super curvy, because it's hard to find the size to help you.
But then it's always matched with like, I remember the, you know, just the open cardigan look.
Yeah.
That's back.
That's
it's
really cute.
So crazy.
Or the shirt underneath.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's almost like a romper look.
Yeah.
But
and with like sneakers.
Yeah. It's cute.
I love it.
I know. The only thing that as of right now that I can think of that I don't want back is the low rise jeans.
No, it's not a good.
Retrained my body to tell it that my waist is up here and not down here.
Exactly. It's just a problem.
That's many years of mom jean training. Right
mom
there.
Jean training. Like, and I you remember we used to make fun of our moms for wearing mom
jeans? Yeah, now I'm like, shoot, they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing. It just kind of holds it all together.
Holds it all together, and it puts your waist where it actually belongs.
Yeah, like where your waist is.
Yeah. I know. It should be the smallest part of your torso, not the widest part of
it
your torso.
It should not be. Curtain bangs, too.
Those are really
cute. Like that, the shag look, that was definitely from my like early high school moment where we, in like 2003, 2004, where we would cut our own hair, and we use like razors.
Yeah.
And we cut our own hair like, oh, that's really cute. Like it looks like you got like just a shag haircut. And I love that.
The blowout. I know that's more like end of 90s, like the Cindy Crawford blowout.
So beautiful.
I love that look when it's like layered and it's all curved in. I'm so like, hello, cute. Let's go.
Because when you blow out the shag, it looks beautiful.
It looks
like
beautiful.
That. It's like, what kind of person do you want to be today?
That's I know. The modernized sweatsuits, kind of like the tracksuits that J-Lo pulled out. I'm about them, just maybe not with a word on your booty.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe not super, like, velour, like, material.
Yeah.
Because you can, like, draw on.
While you're bored.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's cool. Curtain bangs, yep. So funny. Someone, one of our listeners have said, I'm all about Y2K fashion coming back. I would just really like it if Gen Z would just thank us for the
yes. Yes. Was that Jacqueline?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yes, I'm okay with it. Just give
us credit
where credit's due.
Cause we did. We were kind of the guinea pigs of that look.
I feel like we need to post like those looks on our Instagram page because
how we dress.
I'm going to dig up some.
I have them. I have some. My last trip to Florida.
For me, it's just a lot of butterflies.
Yes.
Butterflies.
It's so funny. And we loved accessories.
We loved accessories. I need to bring accessories
back. The baguette purses.
Yes.
Like the long, thin purses. That was like the thing.
That was it. It would hold two things.
Yeah, and you're like
your wallet
that's
and
all I need.
Your
and my
razor
very,
phone
and my very very glossy lip gloss.
Yes, your 3210 Nokia.
Yes,
I love that for us.
I know, it's so funny.
Good that's fun. I like it a lot.
Yeah,
I think we covered most of it.
We did.
This is always something we can revisit because I know Gen Z is going to find some stuff to just like
bring back.
And I'm like, be careful with that Pandora's. It's like Jumanji. Be careful opening that.
There's a lot. There's like, we haven't even talked about like the inflatable furniture.
Oh, how you decorate your room.
How you decorated
inflatable
your room.
Inflatable furniture.
How I wanted to be Alison Stone in all the Missy Elliott videos.
Yes.
Because she had cute pigtails and she was my
so
age.
Little
Alison Stone.
The landlines.
We talked a little bit about it, but dial-up was happening in 2000.
Dial-up was huge.
Huge.
Let's see. What else was in our room?
Oh, posters. So many posters.
Posters. Do kids do posters these days?
I have no idea.
They do like fake plants.
Because we pulled all our posters from our Teen Tiger.
Yes. YM magazines.
Yeah. That's all of, you know, like... It sounds bad because I know it has a bad connotation, but like the centerfold.
Yes.
Like our centerfold was either like a whole photo of our favorite band
yes.
or our favorite pop group, you know?
Yeah.
And we would very carefully maneuver the staple to get it off the magazine.
Yeah. Because you didn't want to rip it.
Yep.
Yep.
Or like really cute cats with motivational quotes.
Yes. I had movie posters.
Oh.
All the movie posters because my parents wouldn't let me put up. Any kind of teen idol because idols.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang it.
But posters
with them in it if they were in a movie. So when On the Line came out with On the Line. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh, it was with Lance Bass. Yeah.
And then JT came out. It was like a model. He was a model.
Yes.
And
Model behavior.
Wow. And he fell in love with the twin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're twins.
And of course he finds out he's been lied to. And then he's like, no, you lied to me. And I'm just like, but I love you. Yeah. It's always the same thing. I loved that.
Oh my gosh.
I just wish JC was in a movie. Was he in a movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. He was all too much into the music.
He's so good.
Justice for JC.
Justice for JC.
Do a whole episode on why he was like messed with. Yeah,
dude. I think he was phenomenal.
Yeah, there's like an alternate reality, another timeline, a variant timeline where Yes, where he got famous and not JT.
Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway.
Crazy times.
Good times.
Let's do our ending segment.
Ending segment.
I love that for you.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Faith, what are you into right now?
So we're recording this. I'm ready. I didn't realize this, but we are recording this on the day of the 20th anniversary of NSYNC Celebrity Album.
What? If you want to be a celebrity,
look to be a celebrity. So... And I didn't know that. Sick. But for some reason, last night I was like, I need to watch some NSYNC stuff. It was like a biological clock.
It is time.
It is time to like watch some NSYNC stuff. So I watched making the music video of It's Gonna Be Me. And I watched Pop Odyssey. Yes. And I was like, oh, great. And I watched all of the Pop Odyssey concert. And at the end of it, I was like, cool, I'm just going to watch No Strings Attached live in Madison Square Garden. And I looked at the clock and it was 1:30 a.m. And I was like, I should go to sleep.
We are invested.
I don't know. And I woke up and I pulled up my Instagram, right? And then NSYNC was the first thing to show up. And they're like, celebrating 20 years of celebrity. I'm like, oh, that's why. My body was like, it's time to celebrate this era of my life. And then here we are. So, yeah, I was, as of the last 24, 40 hours, I was really
into
revisiting NSYNC stuff.
I love it. So Pop Odyssey was the only NSYNC concert that I never got to see live because Miami decided to get hit by a giant hurricane and they canceled.
As they canceled it,
and it was going to be in the biggest stadium town. And I think the model of this stage was it was going to be in the middle of the stadium, so all the seats were good seats.
Oh my goodness!
I was so sad.
Such a bummer. I never got to go to any of them, and I just hope something happens where they get their act together.
And they come back.
You can see them live.
Oh my gosh. I would literally, if they did a residency in Vegas,
I will go.
I would just drive there the moment that they started.
Yes.
I'm here.
I will go.
I will sing all your songs back to you.
I will sing all your songs.
And ad-libs.
I know all your ad-libs, JC. I am happily married.
We both are.
But I just want to know if you're impressed.
I need to impress you. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, I love that for
Thanks.
You.
How about you?
Okay, so this is really, I just celebrated my birthday recently.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of gift cards to Ulta.
How's that?
And I mean, I love Ulta. It's just, I never get to go. And I'm not really educated with makeup, but I'm starting to really love skincare.
Yes.
And we have a friend who is all about natural skincare, and she gifted me a whole line of skincare for my birthday and Ulta
so cool.
gift cards. And so it's just literally like 2 days ago, I went to Ulta. I dropped off my husband and went to Ulta and just took my time and just walked every aisle and kind of figure out what's in there that I can use my gift card on. And I would just sit in the aisle and like pull up reviews because I know so little about certain products. I don't know what things do, but
Is it worth it? Can I work it?
Do people? Missy Elliott.
Yes.
You know, and so it, and yeah, I came back and bought a lot of products I would have never thought I bought. I bought like a body scrub. Which is so, I'm so interested. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in using it. My feet needed a lot of help. It's bad.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting caught on stuff. Like it's nasty. You know, it's not my toes. It's the bottom of my feet.
Right.
And so
Your bed sheets are
like, please leave me alone. I bought a product for that. And, I'm waiting to see if it works because it's one of those peeling things. You have to wait like 3 to 6 days.
It's almost time.
It's frightening. Apparently they call it like the snake effect or something. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my feet.
You just get whole new feet.
Just whole new feet.
Whole new feet.
Other than that, Ulta and skin stuff.
Huzzah. Yes. I love that for you.
So does my skin.
Yes.
My skin's like, thank you for hydrating me.
Thank you. The like summer heat. Summer
yeah,
heat
and protection and like sunscreen and stuff, right?
Totally. Wow.
Look at us. We did it.
What an episode. This is just fun. I'm glad we were able to do a part two.
Yes.
On Y2K.
I feel like there'll be more.
Yeah. The 2000s was a wild time.
It was.
Wild Wild West. Did Wild Wild West come out?
Yes,
it did.
Yes, also very futuristic, like hyper.
Yes, I love that. And I'm glad to see certain things are kind of coming back. There are certain things that I wish would stay back. Like, stay back.
Like, don't come back. 1999 was Wild Wild West.
Oh, something.
Right, yeah. Millennium. It's millennium. It's bringing in the millennium. Yeah.
It is ringing in the millennium.
And ring that in.
But yeah, let us know if there's anything else that you guys want to hear as far as nostalgia, things that you just want to reminisce about that we could talk about. If you have any funny stories that are just very Y2K, like the most Y2K story you have, send it over. I we'd love to read more like long form things.
Stories. I just think they're so funny.
Well, this was great. Thank you guys for listening.
Yes. We'll see you guys next time.
Next time.